The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 8, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on November 25th, 2006, in Doha, Qatar.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 15. Mam upecha punarjanma dukha.
Mam upecha punarjanma
dukhalayam shashvatam.
Dukhalayam shashvatam.
Napnuvanti mahatmana.
Napnuvanti mahatmana.
Sansiddhim paramam gata.
Sansiddhim paramam gata.
Mam upecha punarjanma.
Mam upecha punarjanma.
Dukhalayam shashvatam.
Dukhalayam shashvatam.
Napnuvanti mahatmana.
Napnuvanti mahatmana.
Sansiddhim paramam gata.
Sansiddhim paramam gata.
After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries.
So will you make this close?
Because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyokta and Akshara and Paramakati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees, and thus gradually develop devotional service and Krishna consciousness, and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They want only Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. And that is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personless devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Om jnana dimanandashya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapidam yena bhutale Svayam Rupakadam Hayam Nati Svapadam Tikam. So, Krishna here is describing the supreme souls. Of course, Krishna is the supreme soul, but anyone who becomes completely devoted to Krishna, they are also considered supreme soul. So we are training you how to become a supreme soul. You see? Right now we are fiddling around with the material nature. We're trying to play with Maya, isn't it? Trying to enjoy some happiness by playing with Maya. But there is no happiness in Maya. How long we've been playing around with Maya? how many millions of lifetimes we've been playing around in birth and death, old age and disease. Are you happy with this birth, death, old age and disease? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. You see, so why do you keep playing around with it more and more? You see? If you want to get free from birth, death, old age and disease, then you must change your lifestyle. If you continue to do what you've always done, you will continue to get what you've always gotten. Birth, death, old age and disease. Is it wonderful? No, it's horrible. Birth, death, old age and disease. So if you want to get out, you turn around. I'm speaking to you. This class is for you. I'm talking to you. I want you to hear me. Okay? Is that all right? You can hear me? I'm talking for you tonight. This is for you what I'm speaking. So you can hear me, okay? Yeah. So, we want to play around, don't we? Don't we like to play? We find fun in playing, don't we? Isn't it? We enjoy playing, right? But there is something much more fun than playing. Playing around in Maya. There is something much more fun, and that is to revive the dormant enlightened consciousness within the heart. Even at the young age, you can begin this, you see. Even as a little child, you can begin this. Because we are all the same age, actually. Because we are not this body. It's not that this child is younger than me. This child is the same age that I am. That is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Natvevaham jatunasam gnatam neme janalipa nachayvana bhavishyama sarve maya matapadam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. You see? So this child is the same age as me. We are all the same age. So this message is for everyone, not just at a certain age. It is for everyone. When was Prahlad hearing it? In the womb of his mother he was hearing this message. Even before he came out, even before his age, we calculate age from the moment of birth, not from the moment of conception. So even before he started to age in the external sense, he was getting this knowledge within the womb. So if even before birth you can become enlightened in this knowledge, then how much you can become enlightened after you were born? You understand? How much you can become enlightened after you were born? You see? So it doesn't matter if you're a little child or you're an old man or an old woman. This knowledge is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're Hindu, if you are Muslim, if you are Christian, if you are Jew, if you are atheist, by Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera Nichidas. Krishna doesn't say all the Hindus are my servants. He never said. What is the name of that deity in Puri? Jagannath. Is he called Hindunath? Well, I think the priests want to rename him Hindunath because they only allow Hindus to come in. When I went to Puri and they had said, you cannot come in the temple because you are not Hindu, I said, what is the name of the deity? It is not Hindunath. He is not Hindunath. He is Jagannath. So why you are trying to say he is not Jagannath, he is Hindunath? This is bogus. You were supposed to be Brahman, but you are teaching something which is untrue, that he is Hindunath. Is it? So this is the universal science of the soul. It's good for the little baby. It's good for the Hindu, the Muslim, the old man, even the dog. You see? Even the dog can take to Krishna consciousness. You know the story of Shivananda Saint and the dog? The Shivananda Saint, he was very wealthy. Just like some of our members, they are very wealthy. You see? And they like to sponsor to everyone else. They feel great happiness in using their money for Krishna. So Shivananda Saint, he was well situated in the material world. So he would arrange these tours to Puri. Parikrama, you know. Just like now, someone will rent a bus and everyone get on. Now, in those days, they didn't have the bus. So they would walk down the road. But he would arrange all the accommodations, the inns and the meals and the boats, you know, the ferry boat and all those things he was paying. So, along the way, one dog, you know, dog, ruff, ruff, you know. One dog, he joined in the party. He was tagging along with the Vaishnavas. And finally they came to the boat crossing and they're paying the ferry toll for all the people. And the ferryman said, "This dog cannot come unless you pay toll for the dog also. I'm not going to row that dog across the river unless you pay a fee for that dog." So Shivananda Saint, he liked that dog very much. So he paid. He thought this dog is very nice. He's attracted to the Vaishnava Sangha. So he must be a special dog. So I will pay for his fare on the ferry boat. So in this way, the dog, he is going along as an honored guest of the Vaishnava Sangha. And one day, the dog became lost. One day the dog was no longer around. So Shivananda Sain was wondering, where is that dog? And his mind was so much unhappy that that dog has become separated from our party, that he fasted. "I will not take my meal because the dog has become lost. Where is that dog?" But then they got to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and guess who had gotten there first? The dog was already there. He got there ahead of everyone else. He was there with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, he was taking that green coconut, you know, the soft pulp and the green coconut, that dab, you know. It has the nice juice, and it also has that soft pulp, coconut pulp. So he was throwing that coconut pulp to the dog. The dog was going, "Haribo, Haribo." And then, no one saw the dog anymore. He was gone again. And then they heard the dog had left his body and he had gone back to Godhead. So, this Krishna consciousness movement is for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a dog or you're a human being, whatever you may be. You see, this Hare Krishna movement is for you. It is meant for you. That everyone is meant to absorb themselves in the sweet sound of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Why are we supposed to do this Hare Krishna mantra? Actually, it is a science. This is not a brainwash cult. That you come here and we, because everyone says to chant Hare Krishna, you think, well, I'm supposed to chant it because everybody else is chanting it. You know? This is not a cult. This is a scientific system. That's why we do, because it is scientific. It's like, why does everybody put gasoline in their car? You see, it is science. If you put water in the tank of your car, what will happen? You'll ruin the engine, isn't it? If you put Coca-Cola in the gas tank, it will ruin the engine. It is scientific according to the science of automobile mechanics, you must put gasoline in that car. You see, then it will run properly. So similarly, the soul, who is what we actually are, that soul requires fuel. And you must give the proper fuel to the soul. If you give that soul eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you will ruin that soul. You see? You'll ruin it. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all you give the soul, is to eat some tasty foodstuffs, and then to go to sleep, and then to mate, and to defend. If that is all you give the soul, then you kill the soul. Just like you ruin the engine if you give the wrong fuel. But if you will give the proper fuel to the soul, the holy names of God, then that soul will become situated wonderfully in his constitutional nature. That soul will awaken from the slumber of temporality, illusion, and misery to the reality of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Actually, it is described that deathlessness begins at initiation. When you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation, from that very moment your state of deathlessness begins. One enters into immortality. You take diksha from Guru and you follow sincerely the instructions you have received from Guru Maharaj. Then you are living in immortality from that very moment onward. Of course, if you deviate from the order of your spiritual master, then you are dragged back down by the material nature into temporality, illusion, and misery. But if you remain firmly fixed, nishtha, in the order received from your beloved spiritual master, then you are living beyond this material existence. You are beyond nirvana. It is described, nirvana vilambitani. The impersonalists or the Buddhists, you see, they are very eager to achieve nirvana, the cessation of all material miseries. But if you actually take to devotional service, do you know what is the difference between nirvana and devotional service? Do you know the difference? The difference is that nirvana is simply some temporary cessation of misery. But there is no awakening of spiritual bliss in nirvana. Nirvana is like, you go to the doctor, you say, "My dear doctor, I have a headache." He says, "No problem, I'll cut off your head." "No problem, I can cure your headache, I'll just cut off your head." Is that a very good doctor? He cuts off your head to give you a headache? No. This is the impersonal philosophy. We annihilate you. You don't exist. That is the impersonal philosophy. I don't exist. That is Buddhism philosophy, actually. I have no existence. And the impersonalist, the Mayavad, they think, yes, I am that supreme impersonal oneness. That is me. So both conceptions are false. Because neither conception awakens transcendental bliss. Without transcendental bliss, one's position beyond material existence is shaky position. This is why it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Ahruya krishchena param padam tata patantyato nadrishyadut uyushmaram grayaha." Even though they have undergone great austerities, krishchena, to achieve that position of nirvana, the cessation of material existence. Patanti yadho, boop, they fell down again. They fell down again. Why? because they have no regard for the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. It is such an important thing to develop bhakti. You may try to detach yourself from material sense enjoyment by philosophical analysis, neti, neti, not this, not that. But you will not be successful to remain in that detached position unless you become attached to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. You must be dragged again by material desires to birth, death, old age, and disease. Therefore, the intelligent persons, they seriously cultivate the science of Krishna consciousness, because they know it's the only thing which can give one permanent relief from the pangs of material existence. Those pangs of material existence, they do not go away. That is the nature of the material world. You must suffer anxieties of the mind and the body. You must suffer anxieties caused by other living beings. All mobile phones should be turned off, or if it's urgent, in vibrate mode. This is a no mobile phones zone. As we explained last night, just imagine if Krishna is on the chariot and he's explaining to Arjuna the science of Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna's mobile phone rings. And he says, "Excuse me, Krishna, Yudhisthira is calling." He says, "No. When you come to Pravachan, you must turn off your mobile phone." In the early days of our movement, one famous poet, his name was Allen Ginsberg. He was very attractive. This was in the very beginning when Prabhupada had a little storefront. So Mr. Ginsberg, he came to the park when Prabhupada was chanting in the kirtan. In the famous paper in New York, the big, big famous newspaper, New York Times, they came to do a story on Prabhupada, the Swami chanting in the park. And then they saw, "Oh, the famous poet is here. Let us interview him." And his response was, he said, "Don't disturb a man when he is praying." He said, he would not give interview. He just kept chanting Hare Krishna. He said, "So, don't allow anyone to disturb you by phone call when you are in the kirtan program." He said, "This is more important than any phone call." Actually, we are also making phone call here. It is called conference call. Who are we calling? We are calling Krishna. If you are having a conversation with Krishna, isn't that more important than any other conversation you could ever have? That person who owns everything, who controls everything, that person who is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, the best friend of all living entities. You see. Isn't that the most important conversation you could ever have? You see. So we are connecting directly with God. Who wants to be distracted by a mobile phone call coming in when you're connecting with God directly? You see. That can be done later. Everyone has a voicemail box and then a mobile phone. Can always pick up your calls later on, no problem, after the program is over. But during the pravachan, turn off those mobile phones. Or if it's urgent, then put it on vibrate mode and leave the room. If you're an MD and somebody is going into surgery, then maybe you have to have it on. So in this way, we have to understand the great necessity of focusing totally on Krishna. Just like I have one of these children who are now playing with this mobile phone to focus completely on what I'm saying. You can play with that mobile phone later on. Because this is a prime necessity to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. There is nothing more important, there is nothing more essential The child is thinking, I want some fun. But she does not realize that the fun she is getting by playing with the mobile phone is nothing compared to the fun of reawakening the dormant, enlightened consciousness within the heart. You see? If you can awaken the dormant, enlightened consciousness within the heart, you will experience a pleasure which is millions and billions of times greater than even the greatest pleasure you can have in this material world. Think of the greatest pleasure that you could ever have in this material world, you see, and multiply it by 10 trillion times and compare it to 1/4% of the pleasure of chanting Krishna's name. There's no comparison. Once you have gotten a taste of this Namamrita, the deathless nectar of Krishna's holy name, then this whole material world will not attract you. Just like wherever we go, people say, you want to come and see the sights? We will show you where the games will be played. We will show you the mountains. We will show you this. We will show you that. We will take you on a walk around downtown so you can see all the sights of the city. I'm not attracted to these things. You see? Because there's nothing more attractive than Krishna. Krishna is the source of all beautiful things. That's why he's called Krishna. He's called Krishna because he's all attractive. That means all beautiful and attractive things, they are coming from him. So once you fall in love with Krishna, then nobody else can attract you anymore. The most beautiful woman, the most handsome man, an unlimited sum of money, unlimited power, unlimited prestige, none of these things can attract you. Once you give your heart and soul to Sri Krishna, because there is nothing like Krishna. There is no one like Krishna. We are suffering like anything in this material existence. So many anxieties are coming to us. But if we hold tight to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we will not be wounded by the sharp arrows of this material existence. We will be immune. We will be protected by Krishna. Within his spiritual nature. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Yesterday you said that when Prabhupada left this planet, some of the associates who were with him for a long time, they also left this car.
Yeah.
But those who have got association with a pure devotee like Prabhupada, how could they leave so easily?
Yes. I was making point that devotees, we see some devotees who were not so much attached to follow Prabhupada's instructions, but they were attracted to being around him physically. They had difficulty when he left because they never really mastered the art of associating with him. The spiritual master's physical presence is less important than his instruction. That is called vani. If one is simply enthused by the physical presence of the spiritual master and does not find any enthusiasm in meditating upon and carrying out his instructions, then as soon as he is physically gone, then what is that saying? When the cat's away, the mice will play. But for one who has actually understood what is the real meaning of Guru, that the real meaning of Guru is his instructions. The real way to connect with Guru is to connect with His order. Whatever order He has given me, I must embrace that order as my life and soul. Those disciples who did that, they are very strong, they are steady. They will never go wrong. They will never fall down. Because they have understood, just like Prabhupada, he had very little personal association with Bhaktisiddhanta. Only 10 times he saw him. As I mentioned last night, have you ever seen any photograph where Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta are in the same picture? Never. They had very little, he had very little physical association. But he was always meditating on the order received from Guru Maharaj that you must spread this Krishna consciousness movement to the English-speaking world. Why English-speaking world? Because practically English is the world language. You see, it is the most important language now for preaching. It was true in 1922, and it's true now also. It hasn't changed. In fact, it's become even more prominent now than it was in 1922. Everywhere I go, I only know English. Little Spanish, poquito Español. Mostly just speak English, but I can go everywhere and preach Krishna consciousness, anywhere in the world. I can go to Russia, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Bulgaria, Finland, so many places I'm going. Malaysia, so many places I'm going. And just by English language I can preach everywhere. So it was very significant. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew how important is English language for the modern world. So you must preach in English language. So this order was embraced very tightly by Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, he always felt the presence of his spiritual master. How Guru Maharaj is looking over me, how he is protecting me, how he is guiding me. So in this way, if we connect with the order received from our spiritual master, and we will never be shaken by the material nature. That's okay. Any other question? Yeah.
So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, whatever is the state of mind at the end of death, your soul will return to the particular state. Suppose somebody misuses the human life. So is there any chance to come back apart from the 8.5 million species, get back the human form again?
So what is the question? Yes, after the sinful person, he must undergo punishment for all of his sins. First he'll be punished in the court of Yamaraj to some extent. And then he will have additional punishment in the lower species, as dog, as snake, as a rabbit, as cactus plant, as tree, as bacteria, even if he was very sinful. He'd become bacteria for some time. He will have to undergo punishment in the various forms. And then once he has undergone all the levels of punishment for all of his multifarious sins, then finally, of course, there'll be some karma left, but he will come to human form. When he has just a little karma left, he will come to the human form again to get a chance to get up. Everyone automatically will come back to the human form sooner or later. However, by the mercy of a Vaishnava, he can very quickly come back. Just like my godbrother, he was a little boy at the time, Dwarkadish Das. He fed some ducks. He went to the duck pond and he fed the ducks prasadam. So Prabhupada said, those ducks, they will get human birth in the next life. So even you give some animals some prasad, he doesn't have to undergo so many births to be human. He immediately become human in the next lifetime. So also by this kirtan, just by chanting Hare Krishna, the plants also, you can chant Hare Krishna by a tree, and that tree will become much quicker to the human form than he would have come. Anyone who comes in contact like with Vishad, with Vaishnava association, he becomes blessed. It's like wherever Prabhupada set his lotus feet, that grass became blessed. Wherever Prabhupada's feet touched, maybe some little ant was there when Prabhupada was walking. So that anyone who comes in contact with a devotee, with the holy names, with Prasadam, they become blessed. And they will come much quicker to the human form.
Some devotees are very attached to their vigra, their temple, and their abhisheka. And even if the acharyas come here, that is secondary to them. Then, you know, they do not want to disturb their vigra, their abhisheka and prayers. Is that right?
Actually, according to Shastra.
The question can be repeated because nobody is able to get the question.
The question repeated. Yeah. If I've grasped her question correctly, some devotees are more interested in doing their own puja or worship of the deity. They're interested in big temples, but when the sadhus come, they're not very interested to hear. Is that she's wondering what is that? What is the proper understanding about this?
What, is that right?
Yes, is that right? Okay, the answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yashyat mabudi kunape tridaduke svadi kala tradishu bhoma ijadi. What is the next line? The third line. Janeshu avigeshu saiva. There's a third line. Yashyat mabudi kunape tridaduke svadi kala tradishu bhoma ijadi. And then something karachij. I'm missing those few words there. But anyway, the purport is, translation is, that one who considers this bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be the self, or who considers the place of his birth to be a holy tirtha because he was born there, or considers his family members to be those who are related to his body, or who goes to the holy place of pilgrimage to take bath without being interested to hear from the sadhus. They are simply cow or ass. So in the same way we understand that those who are simply interested to do some puja, but they have no interest to hear from the sadhus, they are simply like cow or ass. They are called kanishta adhikari, materialistic devotees. Now, they cannot actually get liberated from birth and death, because it is only by the grace of the spiritual master that one can be delivered. If one is not humbled before a guru, is not taking shelter of guru, is not giving respect to acharyas, there is no question of liberation. One must remain in birth and death. One may be pious, but still one has to take birth again. Unless one is blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's pure devotee, doesn't matter how many artis you offer, you must take birth after birth after birth. So one has to take advantage of the sadhus, the acharyas, those who teach by their example. We need the dust of their feet on our head. If not literally, and more important is by taking their instructions. Whatever orders, whatever teachings they give us, that is the dust. That is the dust coming from their mouths. If we take that dust and we put it through our ear holes and let it enter into our hearts, that is the most important dust we can receive from the sadhus. To take their instructions very, very seriously and to implement them with complete, total sincerity. Next question.
Maharaj, when we visit dhams, how to recognize the elevated souls living in that dham so that we can go and take their blessings?
What dham?
How to recognize the elevated souls living in that dham?
When we are visiting the dhams, so how to recognize the saintly people there so that we can take the...
Visiting the town?
Dhams.
Dham.
Tirtha.
Vrindavan.
Dham's Vrindavan.
Any Tirtha, like
any, we're visiting a Dham. Well, my ears are really getting bad. We visit the Dham, then...
Repeat the question.
Let me learn the question first, and then I'll repeat it. We visit the Dham.
How do we recognize?
How do we recognize the actual sadhus?
Elevated souls.
Yes. Because yes, in many Dhams, there are many pseudo sadhus floating around. That's a fact. How do you recognize the real sadhus from the cheating sadhus? Actually, nowadays, the Dhams are full of cheating so-called sadhus who simply want to take advantage and exploit you. So this is the important contribution of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada did not encourage us to go wandering around Vrindavan and hear from this sadhu and that sadhu. He said all the holy places of Vrindavan are contained within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He did not encourage us to go around and hear this sadhu, that sadhu, because, believe me, there are many sadhus there in Vrindavan who will mislead you. So-called sadhus, you see. So the best thing is you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, one of our ISKCON gurus, you see, in Prabhupada's line. And then you simply dedicate your life to hearing from your guru and from the others in the other sadhus of ISKCON who are repeating purely the teachings of Prabhupada. Actually, we don't have any desire to hear anyone else except for Prabhupada and those who are following Prabhupada. That's a fact. We are respectful to all, but when it comes to taking siksha, we only want to hear from Prabhupada and from those who are repeating purely the teachings of Prabhupada, no one else. Because as soon as you go away from that, you'll see that there are so many different ideas they present which are not actually correct. So many different ideas. That you can worship, you know, all the gods are one. You can worship Durga, Shiva, Krishna, it's all the same. Or they may emphasize Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhav, and see, without any proper qualification. So we should simply hear from Prabhupada and those who are purely presenting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. That's the only place we should really hear. Anywhere else we may go, there's so many false conceptions that are not based in scripture. You see? Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow the trail tread by the previous acharyas. So whatever is coming from the previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Vyasadeva, Narad Muni. In this way we must take the authorized teachings coming from the sadhus, the acharyas. Next question.
Hi.
Yes.
In Gita, one place Krishna says that if you pray for the Dev, you will reach to Dev. If
you pray for the what?
Dev.
Demigods. The Dave, okay.
And if you pray for me, you will come to me.
That's
and
right.
If you pray for Pitra, you
that's
will
right.
reach to Pitra.
That's right.
I want to
Yanti
know,
Deva Vrita Revan Pratinyanti.
In the 8th adhyay.
Yes.
So right. I want to know, what is the difference between the Deva, the Krishna and the Pitra?
Yeah. Worshipping Deva or demigod, if you do it with full dedication and focus, then you will take birth in the planets of the demigods. But the difference is between the demigod planet and the Krishna planet is that the demigod planet is destroyed. The time of universal destruction, that demigod planet will be destroyed. So all that worship and puja you did to that demigod is all shama eva kevalam, useless labor. You work so hard to go to the planet of the demigod, but at the time of universal destruction, you lose that position in that demigod's planet. You may lose it before even the universal destruction. And also the Pitris, the forefathers, you may go to, they have the Pitri Loka, but that is also destroyed. If you're going to make some endeavor to go to some place, why not go to a place where you can stay permanently? If I say, I want you to work hard and earn some money, I'm going to sell you a house. You have three choices. You have a house that the first house will be destroyed within 5 years. The second house will be destroyed within 10 years. And the third house will never be destroyed. Which one? And you have to pay the same price for all three of them. Which one would you buy? One that will never be destroyed. So why don't... So then therefore you should worship Krishna. Why the same endeavor you will put to worshipping demigod, the same endeavor you go for worshipping Pitri, if you put that endeavor for worshipping Krishna, then you get unlimited benefit. This is called intelligence. Why put the same energy and get an inferior result? Doesn't make any sense. Only a fool would worship a demigod. Kamaistaistar hritagyana prapadyante devata. Those whose intelligence has been covered by material desires, they worship demigods. Those who are actually intelligent, they do not worship demigods. That's only for foolish people. Yes?
A spiritual master is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's representative.
Spiritual master is
nothing but
Krishna. Sakshad Hari Tvena Samastha Shastra. Yes? Yes?
So he is linking us to Krishna.
Yes.
But in Srimad Bhagavatam, if we see Ajamila's case, Ajamila,
yeah.
He don't have any spiritual master. Yeah. Even at the death, at the eighth moment, he remembered Krishna's name. He called his son's name, that is Krishna's name.
Yeah.
So he got liberated.
Not at that moment. He didn't get liberated.
Second time.
He got an extension on his life, and then he went to Hardwar and seriously took up bhakti after that. He didn't get a meeting. He didn't go back to Godhead immediately. He got an extension, he got another chance, and he went to Hardwar and executed austerities and bhakti to get liberated.
But he was saved from the...
He was saved, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
he didn't go back to Godhead at that point. He just got another chance, yeah. Louder, please.
In the beginning, he had the Brahmanic qualities here, the
yes.
And it's after seeing.
Yes, yes.
Then he fell down. It's not that he did have good
health. Yeah, he had Brahmanic qualities, but he fell down by bad association of seeing a Shudra couple having sex pleasure in the forest. That's how dangerous it is to see Sudra is having sex pleasure. I think that's one nice feature of the Muslim countries. They keep it hidden. In the Western world, it's everywhere on the billboards. In Bombay, it's everywhere on the billboards. The sex pleasure is advertised everywhere. At least the Muslims, that's one good quality. They keep it hidden. So the mind isn't directly agitated by seeing it everywhere. Okay, next question. In the back there, yeah.
For God realization, guru is required through bhakti to realize God.
For God realization, guru is required. And
then, through bhakti we can
realize. Or through bhakti. Or through bhakti. Is guru required?
Guru is required.
Guru or bhakti.
Guru required is for realization. Is guru required for God realization or bhakti?
Bhakti is required and guru is required. Without guru, you cannot get bhakti. Actually, bhakti is gift. The guru blesses the disciple with bhakti. If you want bhakti, you may strive for bhakti on your own without guru. But Krishna says, what is this? You don't want to take shelter of my devotee? Where is your bhakti? Go back into the cycle of birth. When you, as Prabhupada quoted the English maxim, if you love me, love my dog. So Guru, he is the dog of God. If you want to show Krishna that you loved him, you must love the spiritual master. You see? There is no question of bhakti unless you love the bhakta, the devotee. Krishna will never accept your bhakti unless you learn how to love his devotee. That's a thing. So bhakti is required and guru is required. Both are required. It's not a question of bhakti or guru. Guru and bhakti. Guru is the means for achieving bhakti. It is a blessing. You cannot develop bhakti by intellectualization. You cannot develop bhakti by austerities and penances. You can only achieve bhakti by the grace of Guru. Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prishadepai Bhakti Lata Bij. It is by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna one receives that seed of bhakti within the heart.
Somebody wants to follow Srila Prabhupada without accepting any spiritual masters in this
material. Yes, yeah.
Is it advisable?
If one says, I will just follow Srila Prabhupada. That's very good. So then do what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says you must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada has taught that you must take shelter of a spiritual master who is physically present. Prabhupada teaches us that principle. One lady, an Indian lady in London, she said, Swamiji, can I accept a guru just by reading his books? Prabhupada said, no. Don't take a guru in the air. You must make guru concrete. So we require that living guru. We must take diksha from a guru who is physically manifest. That's why Prabhupada told us that now I will stop initiating. And now, actually he named Jai Pataka Maharaj as the one. There was some man who wanted to be initiated. This was in October of 77. He said, now in this condition I will stop initiating. And he was saying that Jai Pataka Maharaj could initiate this one man who wanted initiation. So this whole Ritvik thing is simply a bogus concoction. They are simply envious rascals. They don't want to surrender to Prabhupada's system of surrender, which is a GBC body governing the society. They don't want to follow the GBC. They don't want to follow Prabhupada. So they are not following Prabhupada. These people who say, I just accept Prabhupada as my guru. They are disobeying Srila Prabhupada. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, that is your advancement. They don't want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So they are rascals, actually. In the name of Krishna consciousness, they are simply creating disturbance. Actual surrender to Prabhupada is to follow the instructions of Prabhupada. He said you should work together under the GBC body's direction. They are my representative. You work together under my direction. So, if you actually love Prabhupada, then follow his instructions. If someone says, I accept Prabhupada as my guru and no one else, then you're disobeying Srila Prabhupada. You're disobeying him. You're not following Prabhupada if you say, I will only hear from Prabhupada. Actually, one devotee, he was giving a bogus class. I heard him in Bombay. He was saying, we should only hear from Srila Prabhupada. No one else. So we were thinking, then why are we hearing from you, Prabhu? if that's your philosophy, get off the Vyasa side. Okay, anyone else?
Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Guru was Narada Muni. Who was Guru for Dhruva Maharaj?
Who was the Guru of Dhruva Maharaj? His mother. Because she told him to go to the forest. She was Siksha Guru for him. And that's why when he was going back to Godhead, he said, wait a minute. My mother is the one who told me to go to the forest. I cannot go back to Godhead, leaving my mother in this material world. He was so worried. My mother, she is my guru because she told me to go to the forest and find Vishnu. And I did that and found Vishnu. So while he was in anxiety, where is my mother? She is my siksha guru. He noticed there was another Vaikuntha on his... He was flying back on one Vaikuntha airplane. He looked over, there's another Vaikuntha airplane. His mother is also going at the same time. Back to Godhead. So his mother was actually his cousin. She told him, you go and find Vishnu in the forest. So these mothers, understand, you have a very important role to play in the lives of your children. You're meant to be gurus of your children. Don't simply take care of their bodies. You must liberate your children in this cycle of birth and death. Yeah. You must be guru. All the ladies must be guru for their children. Yeah. And Prabhupada even said, if the wife is more Krishna conscious than the husband, then she can become the guru of the husband also. So if you husbands are in Maya and your wife is more Krishna conscious, then you have to surrender to your wife as your guru, your siksha guru. Whoever is more Krishna conscious, you see, that is who we hear from. We don't make discrimination on the body. Krishna consciousness is on this pure spiritual platform. Whoever is more Krishna conscious, that's who we hear from. It's not what body they have. Just like one man, he thought, I will have a guru, but he must be Indian body guru because I have an Indian body, you see. But that means that's aparad. He's saying, well, this guru is no good because he has American body, therefore he is no good. This one, he Indian body, he is good. That is aparad, guru aparad. Just like most of you here are following Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj. He is not Indian body. Of course, he is Indian citizen now. But he is not born Indian body. But you have understood that guru has nothing to do with birth. It has to do with qualification. This is the proper understanding. Doesn't matter. We will take anyone as guru. We don't care. If they have Krishna bhakti and they can give us Krishna bhakti, then we will take them as guru. It doesn't matter who they are, where they are born. Next question. Yes.
What is the role of jnana, bhakti and vairagya? That is knowledge, devotion and asceticism in Krishna consciousness.
Jnana, vairagya and asceticism, what is the role in Krishna consciousness? They are servants of Krishna consciousness. This is not the International Society for Jnana, Vairagya and Asceticism. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But whatever jnana is favorable for Krishna Consciousness, we accept. Whatever jnana is unfavorable, we reject. Whatever vairagya is favorable, we accept. Whatever is vairagya is unfavorable, we reject. Whatever asceticism is favorable, we accept. And whatever asceticism is unfavorable, we reject. That is the rule.
In the morning,
we should take our life from both ends. Is it possible for us in this
Kaliyuga, where this Maya is so much approaching us,
conquering us? Is it possible to do what? To shave pure
bhakti? No, to act from both ends, from
material side and from the spiritual side. Oh, how do you do both?
Yeah.
It's a very simple thing.
We discussed that in the morning. So, in this material Maya, so much Maya is there, so how is it possible?
How?
We discussed about life coming to an end tomorrow,
yeah.
And we also are going to live for 80 years. Yeah.
What is the point?
We have to see from both ends.
Both ends.
I mentioned the both ends this morning, yeah. You have to live your life as if you have a long lifespan. At the same time, you have to live your life in such a way that you can end at any minute. It's like you're saving money for your retirement, you know. That you must do that so you can retire at age 50. And at the same time, you must act as if you can die at any minute. Both things, yes.
But this is the Maya. Maya is approaching, conquering us, trying to conquer us each and every moment.
That's right.
How,
Vidyamcha vidyam yashtad bhairabhyamsaya. That is described in Sri Yashupanishad. That only one who can balance nescience and science, or vidya and avidya. To get the full blessings of immortality, you have to balance these things properly. That's why guru is required. The guru, he will teach the disciple how to balance. Because every disciple, he has his own specific situation. So guru, either directly or through his representatives, he will teach the disciple how to balance their situation. Or also senior devotees are there. Just like I am instructing so many disciples of different gurus all over the world through my through emailing. Take advantage of senior association, especially your Guru Maharaj and others also, who can give you the same understanding that your Guru Maharaj can give you. Through these senior association, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they have learned how to balance. See, they've mastered the art of balancing. That's why they're advanced devotee. So we have to learn that balance from those who are balanced. Neophyte means he is unbalanced. He is shaky. Senior devotee means he is balanced. He's very steady and solid. So of the junior, he will take shelter of the senior. And he will also learn how to become balanced. Any other question? Yes.
It is said that the supreme planet, which is the world of life.
The what planet?
Supreme planet. It's not visible to the material eye.
It's not visible to material eyes.
The supreme planet is not visible to material eye.
That mean that it's available here, we just don't see it, or
does that mean it's available here and we cannot see, or what?
No. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochaneno santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. If you will purify your eyes by, what is that? Ointment. Anjana. Actually, that word has even come into English language. Unctuous. Anjana. That word has come into English language. But that premanjana, that premanjana will enable you to see Krishna and to see the transcendental abode of Krishna. Even in this very body, you can see those. If you will anoint your eyes with the love of Godhead, then you can have direct visual in all senses experience of the spiritual existence beyond this body. That's a fact. Even now in this present body, if you will purify your eyes with the ointment of love of God, then you can directly see God in His abode. Brahmaji is in this material world. He had vision of the spiritual world. You have not read in the Bhagavatam. He had vision of the spiritual sky. Even while within this material world, in his material body, he had vision of the spiritual sky. And he has given us this Brahma Samhita. So Brahmaji has told us. He had personal experience. He had the darshan of Krishna in the spiritual world. So he has told us, if we anoint him with our love of God, the eyes, then we will see also. So now you must do that. You must take complete shelter of Guru and Krishna, purify your vision so that you can see Krishna and you can see the entire spiritual world. Any other questions? How are we doing on time? A little more time?
15 minutes.
How many more?
15-20 minutes.
All right. Okay.
When Bhagavan said, Chaturvitam bhajante maam janasa kritna arjuna ato atakri jignasa nani sadara.
What verse was that?
Chaturvitam bhajante maam.
Four types of pious people.
Yes.
though they are worshipping and they are fulfilling their requirement, but there is no surety for liberation all these four times.
What is it? Yes, they are still tinged by material desire. In the beginning, you cannot avoid that. We come to Krishna because we're curious, because we're distressed, because we're desiring money, or we're after some knowledge. So these are all considered material desire. Of course, knowledge is a more subtle thing. One wants to become a great, recognized jnani, you see. So they want some knowledge so they can have some prestige of being a jnani. These are all material. So in the beginning, it's inevitable we must have some material desires when we come, but we have to give those up. We have to come beyond the platform of material desire to the pure spiritual platform. We have to take advantage of the association of pure devotees, and by their blessings, we will become pure. Next question. Yeah. Pure Vaishnava. Yes.
To
become pure Vaishnava, you must chant at least 16 rounds regularly. You must follow the regulated principles and take diksha from bona fide guru.
And is that enough qualification to be a pure Vaishnava?
Though, if you do those activities and avoid the nama aparads, you become pure devotee.
What is nama aparads?
Pure Vaishnava and liberated soul, there's no difference. When you become pure Vaishnava, you are liberated soul. Same thing.
Liberated soul and elevated soul. What is the difference between liberated soul and elevated soul?
Liberated soul and
elevated soul.
Elevated soul means he's on his way to liberation. But when he becomes fully elevated, then he is liberated. Just like you get in an elevator, you may go halfway up to the 10-story building. You may take the elevator to the 5th floor. Now you are elevated. And you go to the 10th floor, now you are liberated. Yes, anything else?
Suppose if you are working in some place where we don't have association of the devotees, chance, how can we follow the...
If you're living somewhere where there's no sadhu association, then you become a sadhu. So by associating with yourself, you'll make advancement.
Repeat the question.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But if you're living somewhere where there's no devotee association, then I read one purport of Prabhupada. I don't remember where it is, but I read that an advanced devotee can make advancement simply by associating with his own mind. So, if you find that you're lacking in devotee association, you're living in some remote place away from devotees, then you have to become you have to strive like anything to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then you'll make advancement just by associating with yourself. You have to make your mind your best friend. You have to really conquer your mind. You have to work really hard to conquer your mind. Of course, you must have guru. You're initiated.
He's initiated.
You're in the process of getting initiated. Okay, good. So you have your guru, and he is present. Shelter means you're already accepting him as guru. Just the formalities haven't been done yet. Yeah. You're already accepting this person as my spiritual master. You're worshiping him as guru. So that means your Guru Maharaj, he is always present with you. So you're never alone, actually. Your Guru Maharaj is always present. He's with you. He's blessing you. He's watching over you like a guardian angel. You simply have to always remember the instructions that he has given to you, either personally or to the group with which you were a part. In either case, they are personally meant for you. So you must follow, meditate on those instructions, worship them, and try to carry them out successfully. And that way you'll never be alone. You will always have the greatest sadhu with you, your spiritual master, to bless you at every minute. And the next question. How about in the back room there? Over, no one's asked for that. Well, he did at the door, but behind the door. Anyone in back there had a question? Anyone in the back room, other side of the door back there? So far, the only questions have been from this room and from the doorways. Beyond the doorways, we haven't gotten any questions yet. So, everyone is satisfied then?
Very much.
All questions answered. You ready to become pure devotees now? Shake off the influence of the modes and revolutionize the whole planet? Are you ready?
Yeah. I have one more question. When Prabhupada was preaching in the West, I mean, he was very successful in the movement in the West. And I have lived in the West over 30 years, but I find it, I'm sure I'm lacking in something. It's not easy to take young people or some, you know, to bring them in Krishna consciousness easily. You know, in the West when they've
That's
got
right.
so much, the shopping and the other things.
It's a miracle, actually. What Prabhupada did is a miracle.
I know. I mean,
Absolute
I'm appreciating
miracle.
It more and more now. I'm thinking Prabhupada just
10,000 young Bagley, thousands and thousands of young American boys and girls who were totally absorbed in sinful life, they became pure devotees under Prabhupada's direction. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle, there's no doubt. So your question, would you have a question?
Well, my question is, how should I, you know, I mean, we want to follow the example and
how should
a small way, the same thing.
It's very simple. You have to become a pure devotee, that's all. You have to be as convinced as Srila Prabhupada that Krishna is God. If we go to downtown in America, many people believe in God. If you go to some major US city and you take survey, do you believe in God? Most people will say, yes, I believe in God. And then if you ask them, if I told you, my dear sir, that God is a little blue cowherd boy, he wears a peacock feather in his hair and a yellow silk dhoti, and he stands in the bushes on the banks of the river Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season playing the fifth note on his flute, what would you say? He would say, I'm calling the police. There's a nut out here on the street. So how did Prabhupada convince us that God is a little blue cowherd boy? He wears a peacock feather in his hair. He wears a yellow silk dhoti and he stands in the bushes in the full moon night of the Sharad season playing the fifth note on his flute. How did Prabhupada convince us? You know how? Because Prabhupada was convinced. He was absolutely convinced that Krishna is God. So if you want to be the best possible follower of Srila Prabhupada, you can be. If you want to be empowered by Prabhupada and by Prabhupada's representatives to spread this Krishna consciousness movement like anything, then you must make your conviction absolute. You must have unshakable conviction that Krishna is God. And then, actually Prabhupada told us. He said, I have doubled what my spiritual master has done. Now you must double what I have done. That means four times. Prabhupada told us. Another time he said, I have done 10 times more than my Guru Maharaj. Now you must do 10 times more than me. That means each Prabhupada disciple, he has to make 100,000 disciples. And that means the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples, they have to make 1,000,000 disciples each. So this is called our family business. Preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness.
In the West, the most difficult thing I find is persuading people not to have meat, when there's meat all over the place. And they're habituated to that.
No, you have to go the other way. You have to come the positive way. You give them prasadam. You just say, don't eat meat. And they go, what do I eat? I got to eat something. But if you give them prasadam, it's like I'm waiting for that day when some wealthy Vaishnava businessman starts his own airline. And all the food on the airline, they'll be serving out prasadam. I'm waiting for that day when some wealthy businessman, a devotee businessman, starts his own airline, Hare Krishna Airlines. Fly, Hare Krishna, it'll get you there on time. I can just see it. I'm going to fly Hare Krishna. They have the best food. I want to fly Hare Krishna. We'll have the best in-flight movies, everything.
Satya Sankalpa Maharaj, if the words will come true, definitely somebody will...
Huh?
You are a Satya Sankalpa, your desire will definitely come true because you are such a beautiful soul.
Actually, my desire is this. You may say it's a foolish, impossible desire, but my desire is, I'm going on record here in front of all of you, my desire is that before I die, before I leave this body, I want to see the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Now it's up to Krishna, he can fulfill my desire or not fulfill my desire, but that is my desire. Before I leave this body, I want to see the whole world become Krishna conscious. So, any other questions? So I guess that's a good place to stop. Meditating on the whole world becoming Krishna conscious. Actually, it is predicted. It is not simply some idle dream. It is predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. As I quoted the other, I think last night, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. It is predicted in scripture. So it is not simply some fanciful imagination. It is fact. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the perfect knower of past, present and future, and he has stated the whole world will become drowned in this tidal wave of prema vanyaya. Whole world. Everyone. That means everyone. So we'll stop here. So we thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.